Thanks for volunteering to pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for being here. Open our hearts to understand what's going to be taught to us, God. Thank you for being an amazing Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You think you're getting the microphone back after making me pray? It's not happening.
I'm just going to state it so that it's on record. I don't like being on record. There you go. Now you can't say I didn't say that. They're probably going to just delete it anyways, so whatever. Anyways, guys at the back, I'm watching you. Everyone stare at them. Make them feel awkward. Yeah, you know who you are. Yeah, exactly. You're not even paying attention. Everyone's staring at you. I'm talking. I got the mic. You shh. Yeah, Storm, you tell him. Okay. This is still so awkward. I don't know why. Okay. Yes, now you're laughing at me. Even better. Huh? It's almost like a donut, isn't it? Okay. How are you guys doing? Yeah? Who's been here for the past few weeks? Besides you guys at the back. Ernesto? Who was here last week? Probably a lot more of you guys, yeah. Do you guys remember what we talked about last week? Amy talked, but what did she talk about? Yeah, you can give her a prize after. So what did she talk about? Kevin already said it, but... Kevin just said it. Okay. Good job, Josh. If we had another prize, you've already got one, so you could give it away to someone else, but we don't have another prize. Huh? No, we don't have another prize, so he's keeping that. Anyways, last week, well, it's okay. Last week, Amy talked about Holy Spirit. This week, we're going to talk about some of the benefits of having Holy Spirit with us. And we're going to talk about what it means to live a holy life and what God calls us to in the Bible. So lots of you guys, I know for myself, I've heard this talk a lot of times, but we're going to do a lot of Bible study this time. And I want to give you guys background to see that it's not just something that people talk about. It's actually in the Bible, written many times, many different ways. And it's actually something that we can all strive for and we can all live up to. But you guys are empowered to live a holy life. Does that sound strange to you guys? No? Does that sound ominous? Like it's something that you guys have to live up to, you guys have to earn, or something that you have to perform to gain? Yeah, I see some nods of the head. For me, that seemed like that too, because when I kept hearing about the Bible calls us to live a holy life, to be consecrated to God, things like that, there are all these words that I might not have known myself, and I'm sure you guys are the same way. There are all these big words that might be jumbled in with whatever you've heard different people talk about, like consecration, sanctify, things like that, that just make it seem so much more complicated than it actually is. And through what... Through some of the verses that we're going to go through today, I want to show you guys that it's not actually something that is big. It's not something ominous to strive for. It's something that you learn to just live out as you seek God. So if you have your Bibles, even electronic, you're allowed to use electronic for this. So you guys, whoever had electronic Bibles, you can feel free to pull it out. You can look up verses with me, follow along. I'm going to go through two different versions. So I'm going to go back and forth between the New International Version and the Message. But you guys, if you have electronic, you can go through whichever version you want. Or if you're taking notes, you can take down notes of the verses and read them after if you don't have a Bible here. But the first one we're going to start off with is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to 11 right now. So if you guys turn to that, you can follow along. And it Oh, sorry, I thought someone said something. Starts off to say, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Summarize that for me. It's pretty simple. I'm going to choose Daniel for this one. And And yeah, that's pretty much it. If you do bad stuff, you don't go to heaven. But something that stuck out to me there is, and this is what some of you were. I know I used to be one of those people who just did whatever I wanted and didn't really care. But the good thing is that we were sanctified, we were washed, and through Jesus dying on the cross, we can be reconciled back to him and in that relationship with him. And we are holy because he died for our sins. In that one act, he died for all our sins. And yes, we still sin. I'm not perfect. Even though I'm up here talking in front of you, I still do things I'm not proud of. I'm not perfect. And yes, I aim for that because I want to be holy as God set me apart, but it's not something that I have to strive for, I have to perform for, because I know Jesus already paid the price. I just have to accept it, and as I get closer to God, that's something that will come naturally to me. If you go down later in that same passage, 1 Corinthians 6, to verse 18, it says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. What was the price that we were bought at? Pretty simple. Madison, what was the price we were bought at? What was the price that we were bought at? Whose death? Exactly. And Jesus was God's son, right? None of you guys have kids, I'm hoping, except for Kevin. Yes? I'm hoping none of you guys have kids because you're all pretty young. Yep, that would just be weird. But, yeah, so there you go. Kevin, if you were given the choice, everyone in the world would have to pay the penalty for sin, which is death. Or you could give up Israel to save everyone. How hard would it be? Yeah, it's when you have a child. Kevin, can you come explain? I'm putting you on the spot here, but can you, someone explain what would be going through your mind or something like that? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
It doesn't matter what I say, you won't understand it until you have a kid. I'll just say that. Seriously. When I got into my older part of my life and started kind of becoming a little more responsible in things and wanting to have family and kids, you're not at a stage where you'd want probably family and kids. Some people, sometimes young ladies are like, oh, I can't wait till I'm married. Because, you know, but when it becomes like an actual reality where you're like, yes, I want to be married and I want to have a family. When you get to that place, you think that you might understand, but you still don't. Until you look at your child and you realize, and even that grows. Israel's like 4.5 months. When she was first born, it blew me away. But right now, I would sacrifice so much more than that first moment than when I saw her. Because it was like, you can't really be prepared for the love that you're going to have for a child until you have one. And even then, it's like you instantly are in love with this thing. But then every day you just go, whoa, 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 until you like realize that you'd give your own life in a heartbeat, but you wouldn't give up your child. Yeah. And like Abraham having to sacrifice his son, like that, you think it's just it's a Bible story, so it's not really real. But like if you had to do it, yeah, I don't know how to explain it. You can't.
It's totally different hearing about it and talking about it, and then when it actually comes to doing the act. It's like with anything we do. It's so simple to talk about prophesying over some stranger that you walk up on the street and meet, but it's so much harder to actually do it because we have our own human, the human condition, I guess you can call it, where we just care about what others think too much, right? I know for myself that's one of the big things, but that's a whole other topic anyways. But in this verse, it tells us that we were bought at the highest price. And in, let me find the right verse. We'll get into it, actually. But if we were bought at that highest price, in one of the later verses that we're going to read, it says that that price was a gift for us. How many of you guys have received gifts, whether it's on your birthday, whether it's at Christmas, anything like that? Hopefully all of us in the room, we all receive gifts. Yeah, you don't have to put your hand up because I'm pretty sure it's everyone. But when you get a gift, what do you guys do with it? you use it. First, you have to receive it, right? If you don't receive the gift, you don't really know what the gift is. You can't open it. You can't actually understand the gift. You can't accept it. So first step is receiving the gift. What Jesus did on the cross is a gift. And we have to choose to receive it, first of all, to understand what he actually did. And we can choose to live our lives as holy, as sanctified, as righteous. But we have to choose first to accept the price that he paid on the cross and understand what that fully means for us. Because when we truly understand the price that he paid on the cross, giving up whatever it is that we're doing, lying, stealing, things like that, it doesn't seem like that big a price to pay compared to what he paid for us. Tony Palmer, he's a Catholic bishop, I believe. He was here in like December or January, but he said something that really stuck out to me. And he was talking about Jesus, and he basically said, we can try to outgive God. We may wait until we have two jackets before we give away our one. But did God wait till he had two sons before he gave away Jesus? Did God wait? He didn't have two sons. Jesus was his son, and they were one and the same, and he chose to give him away for us. He deemed us worth it. How many of you guys know that you're worth what Jesus did on the cross? I know I'm still realizing that in my own life. I mean, so often I go through life thinking, why me? Why did God choose me? Why did he die for me? I mean, I've done nothing to deserve it. I've actually strayed far from it. I've done so much that I shouldn't deserve it, but God still deemed you worthy. He still deemed you worth the price that Jesus paid on the cross. And he has still called you by name for a special purpose in this life. Before we get deeper into it, what do you guys think holy is? Any opinions? What do you guys define holy as? God? Yes, I guess that's sort of the Trump answer to pretty much everything. Any more defined definitions, if I can say that? Is that free? Is that pure? Daniel? Do you have a Bible dictionary in your Bible? Do you mind reading that definition to the mic so that it's on recording?
Standing apart from sin and evil, characteristic of God, especially the third person of the Trinity.
Exactly. Did you guys all catch that? Set apart. That's a big part of it. And in that verse, did it talk about us having a purpose? Can you read it out one more time? Yeah, just read it out. Okay. Yeah, so we were set apart. And I looked up, of course, dictionary.com, the answer to not everything, but Google. Google's not either. God is, of course. But Google helps, but dictionary.com. I looked up the word holy, and it's declared sacred by religious use or authority, or consecrated, basically set apart. And another definition of it was having a spiritually pure quality, like Kevin said, free from sin, like you said, being pure. Okay, I mixed them up then. You said being pure. Okay, I heard that. I'm not hearing things, I swear. Okay, there you go. See, I did hear it. So we're set apart. And in that first verse we talked about, there's also the word sanctified. Do you guys know what that means? Pure? Yeah, it's sort of to make holy. And where's that? Consecrate. Consecrate, I looked up on dictionary.com as well. And one of the definitions of it was to devote or dedicate to some purpose. So when God set us apart, when he made us holy and consecrated us, he didn't just do that for nothing. He made us with a purpose. How many of you know that he has a plan for your life? Yep. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and give you hope and a future. And we can live in that truth. It's not something that's just in the Bible, it's truth. And when we realize the plans that he have for us, that he has for us, all of the plans somewhat seem less important, seem less, I don't know, less appealing, I guess you can say. How many of you guys have heard a word from God, maybe as to what you may be doing in the future, maybe what you're called to? Brayden, do you want to share a bit about it, or not? Doesn't have to be in depth, yeah.
When you're on the School of Ministry, you get loads of prophetic words because we have prophetic people come and prophesy over all of us. So I've got prophetic words saying that I was going to be a businessman and saying that I was going to be drumming and traveling and also have lots of kids. So whoever is my future wife, pray for her.
Wait up here. So now that you've heard those words from God, did you have plans before that?
Yeah, I did, and actually a lot of the prophetic words kind of, yeah, sort of lined up with the stuff I was wanting to do, which was cool.
Yeah,
it was very good.
Do you look forward to it more now, knowing that God has a specific purpose and it's being confirmed, what the desires that were already in your heart?
Yeah, totally, because it means that I'm going to be doing all the stuff I do, like, for a point, for the kingdom of God, rather than just to make money and survive. So.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's give him a hand. Thanks, Brayden. It was the same for me. I was just living my life doing, I used to work at Blockbuster for 3 years, and it was pretty simple, but it wasn't getting me anywhere. And I had prophetic words and stuff, and I didn't really realize them until I myself came to the school, and it got reaffirmed because it sort of reawoken passions in my life. And when that got reaffirmed in my life, it was sort of like, what was I doing at Blockbuster? It really wasn't getting me anywhere. But now I have something to live for, so now I have something to look forward to. And whatever I had in mind for doing before seemed less appealing than what God had for me. And I want it to be the same for you guys in your lives. Whatever you guys have in mind, know that God knows the desires of your heart. And as you seek him, your desires will line up, and you'll pursue the passions that he's placed in your heart. And he has an incredible destiny for each one of you guys that you can pursue with boldness, knowing that he'll back you up the whole way. So just seek him first. If you go to Colossians 1, and we're going to read verse 21 to 23, and I'm reading this from the Message version. You yourselves are a case study of what he does. At one time, you all had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of him, giving him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving himself completely at the cross, actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned into the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There is no other message, just this one. Every creature under heaven gets the same message. I, Paul, am a messenger of this message. And in the NIV version, it actually says, I, Paul, have become a servant to this message, to sharing this message. And you guys have all heard of Paul, I'm hoping? Paul, he's Hein's brother. He works security here. Okay, no one really laughed at that, whatever. Yeah, that just shut me down, whatever. Paul in the Bible, he was Saul, turned to Paul, and he wrote many books in the New Testament. But if you guys don't know the story of Paul, he was going around, first of all, he started off as Saul persecuting Christians because he thought that's what God had called him to do. And then he was blinded on the road to Damascus, and God turned his life around, changed his name to Paul, and he started preaching the gospel. And if Paul takes so much credence in what the gospel says that he's actually become a servant to proclaiming what the good news is to what the Bible says, we can definitely put a lot more credence into what it says as well, right? I mean, he's written so many books. He was sharing so much of the gospel. And if he himself says he's a servant to sharing what God's put on his heart, we can also be the same like that. If you turn to Philippians 1, verse 6, there's never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. So all the work that God started in our lives, whether it's healing, whether it's him telling us things about our future, prophetic words, encouraging words, it's not over until Christ returns. And we can be encouraged knowing that he's always got more for us, right? any of you guys ever have, like, a word from God and think that's it? There's always something more that God has for us. And you guys can embrace what he has for you and know that there's always something more. It's never, the work that he started in our lives is never completed. Okay. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 6 now. And we're just going to start wrapping up. But in 1 Corinthians 6, this was the first passage we started off. We read the first part and the last part, but in the middle it says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. And what I really felt God wanted to do today is that a lot of us have put different things in our lives before him. And like the parable in the Bible in Matthew 6:24, it talks about how a servant cannot serve two masters. And God, as we've seen through some of the verses, requires all of us, and he wants us to be holy and consecrated. And he's already made the way for us to be able to come to that place, right? And how many of us are actually serving two masters, or more than two? I know I was playing video games, and I put that before God. I was reading books just to escape whatever reality was. I was doing many different things to just do them and to sort of escape my own guilt, my own shame because of what I had done. And before we get into ministry time, I want you guys to know two things. It doesn't matter what you guys have done in the past, because in the Bible it says that God has separated our sins from us as far as the east, or to the bottom of the sea. And yes, our sin does affect how we live our lives, but it doesn't matter how we enter into a relationship with God, because he's already made the way, he's already declared us pure, he's already made us clean. So we can live our lives knowing that there's grace that we can enter into. And we can't use that as a crutch, saying, there's grace, so I'm going to go do everything I want to, do as much damage to my own body, whatever, go drinking, do drugs, whatever, and then I know God's got grace for me, so I'll just ask him to forgive me. And it's not a crutch for that. It's a grace that we enter into knowing the full price that he paid for our sins. And we can't forget it, but we can put it behind us and get on with the future that God has for us. And when we choose to do that, it's called repentance. And we'll know what repentance is. Josh? Yep, turning from your old ways, going in a new way. In the dictionary, I believe it actually talks about a 180-degree turn. How many of you are good with math? No? At least you can admit it. I'm good with math. I like math. It was my favorite subject. Ernesto, can you stand up? And everyone look at Ernesto. He's going to be our example. So if you're facing me right now, if you do a 180-degree turn, where do you face? And now you're not facing me. You're facing Kevin, right? So you're facing the total opposite way of where you were facing before. Thanks. Everyone can give him a hand, and you can sit while he's eating his chips. So the Bible calls us to repentance, and that doesn't mean that we just ask God for forgiveness for our sins, but it means that we turn away from our sins as well. Just like Ernesto showed us, we make a 180-degree turn, and instead of facing our sin, we turn to God, and we see where he wants to lead us. And the second thing I want to say before we just see what God wants to do is there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. And I really felt this on my heart tonight, that a lot of us have walked just around with a lot of condemnation on our lives. And there's a big difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is what the enemy tells you that you're bad at, that you can't amount to anything. When you sin, he condemns you for it. He makes you feel bad. He makes you feel guilty. And he makes you feel like you're worthless because of what you just did. Conviction is when Holy Spirit comes in and he says, you're so much better than this. He encourages you because he knows that he has called you to more. And he's got such a better plan for your life. So when you sin, when you fall, yes, there's something in you that makes you want to turn from it because you know there's so much better for you. And that's the good thing about it, because it makes you want to be better than what you are right now. And conviction is what God uses to turn our hearts toward him. When we sin, we can be encouraged that we can always turn to him. And Holy Spirit will help us. He'll give us the strength to do that. He'll give us the boldness to just walk in what God has for us. So as I was saying before, in Matthew 6:24, it talks about how we can't serve two masters, for we will love one and hate the other. And Storm, are you back at the sound desk? could you put on the Untitled playlist in iTunes? Thank you. So we're just going to put on some music, and if you want to hand out the paper and the pens, if someone could just help him hand that out. I just want you guys to, you can spread out because you guys are all tight-knit right now, but spread out, find your own place. Try not to be distracted, but I want you guys to just talk to God right now and just ask him if there's anything that you might be serving, if there's another master in your life that you might be putting before him. And for me, like I said, it was video games, it was books. It was anything I could do to avoid just facing the guilt that I felt for what I had done. And it doesn't have to be that way. We can enter into the relationship that he has because of his grace. John, if you can pass them out. And Storm's passing out pens. So when you get a paper and a pen, you can go find your own spot, just wherever you want. Just find a quiet place. Separate from your friends. And just talk to God. I want you guys to, first of all, ask God if there's any masters that you have put before him. And just feel free to write those down. And then I want you to ask him what he has in store for you. And just feel free to talk to him. I still chose you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still said your name. I said it just the same. I knew what I was getting into. And I am not shocked by your weakness. And I am not shocked even by your sin. And if you guys find your own space, this isn't something you have to do with your friends or anything, but it's just something you can just talk to God about. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still like you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still chose you. 'Cause only I can see the end from the beginning, and only I can see where this is going, and only I can see the end from the beginning, and I see in you the seeds of love, and I see in you strength. All you see is your failure, and all you feel is shame. I can see deeper than that. I know you better than that. I knew what I was getting into when I called you. I knew what I was getting into when I said your name. I said it just the same. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still like you. You're only at the beginning. You've only just begun. And I know where you are going, and all you can see is the moment that you're hurting, and all you can see is the moment that you're aching. But listen, I knew what I was getting into when I called you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still want you. I knew what I was getting into, and I still like you. I knew what I was getting into when I called you. Just don't give up, and don't give in.
Last night, I was praying, and a scripture came to me, and I felt like it was for this morning, and it was in 1 John 1, verse 9, and it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's the title of the heading in the Bible that he's talking about right there is called Walking in the Light. And it's all about just letting God come in and take away the things that we have done. I struggled a lot in my life with shame from the things that I chose to do. And I really believe that confessing your sins comes in like two parts, right? You want to like write down what you guys are doing right now. You're kind of just pouring yourself out to God, writing down what you feel like you just kind of want to give to God and give it away. And then there's also confession to someone. And then there's also just kind of like this part of just walking it out, walking out, being in the light, choosing to not go back there, as David was talking about with repentance, doing that 180-degree turn. So when I was talking to David this morning, he told me what he was speaking on, and it really fit. So in this ministry time, we as the ministry team, the leads, we're gonna come around and we're going to just like talk to each one of you. And this is kind of why we wanted you to be in little separate spots, because we want to give you the opportunity to confess sin to someone if you choose to. And we don't want to make it a big awkward thing where, hey, if you want a confession, come to me and I'll be over here. Like, we just want to come to you and just talk with you and just see where you're at and give you an opportunity to be ministered to and confess that sin and get it out of the way and get it into the light and just start that walking out process of turning around 180 degrees.
Part of this is because when we get things into the light, the enemy has no place or power in our lives anymore. And the biggest thing that he can hold against us is that we're alone and that we have no one to talk to, that we're the only ones doing this, that there's so much guilt and shame because of what we've done. But this isn't anything to say that you're condemned, but rather just to give the enemy no more place in your lives to have this power.
And I know that like a lot of times with sin, it wants to keep, like what he's saying, it wants to keep you in the dark. And one of the hardest things you can ever do in life is to confess to someone, hey, I've struggled with this, or I messed up here. but the freedom that comes from it is really powerful. And so I'm going to ask the ministry team now to just go around. They're just going to come around and just pray for you, talk with you. If you don't want any kind of ministry in this area, if you don't want to confess anything, that's fine. This isn't a pressured situation. They're just going to come and check in with each one of you. And as we do that, just feel free to talk to us about anything that you want to talk to us about. We're here for you. And if we run out of time in this ministry time to do that, please find us and do that. But what I would really encourage you not to do is if you feel in your heart something pressing that you want to get out, don't keep it in, because it will hurt you. It does damage inside there when we don't confess the things that need to be confessed. So I bless you with that. And then after this ministry time, David's going to lead us in just kind of coming together and taking the paper that you've written on, because you might be confessing something on that paper or saying something to God that you don't want anyone to know. And we're going to come and we'll tear it all up and throw it into the garbage can and just kind of make a declaration. But David will lead us in that in a bit. So we're just going to come around now. We're going to pray for you, talk with you. If you want to confess anything, please do so. If you feel like it's like you really want to confess it, but you don't want it to be around anybody else, then just talk to us afterwards, okay?
So if you're all done, come join us and make a circle around this bin. And if you guys had written some of the other masters that you might have had in your life on the top half and maybe what God said to you on the bottom half, feel free to rip the top half off, and we're going to just get rid of it if you want to. So if you guys are done, gather in, form a circle. Yeah, and as you guys feel led, if you want to turn from your ways, feel free to rip it up, toss it in the bin, and make it a declaration to say no more. Yeah, so Father, we thank you for what you've done today, that we can enter into the consecrated light that you've set apart for us. And when we choose to turn away from what the world offers us, you won't leave us hanging, but you give us the strength to persevere and to live a holy life as you've called us to. And that you give us the strength to just avoid all the attractions of what the world has to offer. And when we fully realize what you did on the cross for us, it's such a trivial thing to give up what the world has to offer. And would you just plant that desire in our hearts to just put you first and let us seek after you. Amen. So Storm, if you want to put on the two jumpy songs in that playlist. Yeah. Well, yeah. If you guys want to sort of celebrate if you've tossed something in the bin. Go ahead. But you guys are released to go if you need to. Feel free to hang out if you want. If you still want some prayer or ministry, feel free to talk to one of us. But yeah, we're here.